Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Grace and peace to all of you this morning. I've been fed by these wonderful ministers and my pastor for so long, and it makes me feel real good to be around fiery preaching like that. Man, who don't compromise the word. Man. Our Heavenly Father, touch our hearts now as we go into your word. Strengthen us and keep us. And bless these lips of clay as they go into your word in the unseen richness of your word. And we pray that something will be said today that will edify and exhort your word to those that are here, to the believers, and those who are not believers. We pray that you touch their hearts also. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our reader is you reader?
Yeah.
Okay. Deacon Gavin's our reader.
Amen.
And I'd like to just start off with one scripture. We'll be going to many more. Romans, the 12th chapter.
Amen.
And the first verse from the King James Version and the Interlineal Greek. To all of our friends in the internet, also we bid you a happy day today. From the 12th chapter of Romans, the first verse.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1, King James Version. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay.
Now, the interlinear Greek text, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech therefore you, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present the bodies of you sacrifice a living, holy to God, well-pleasing, the reasonable service of you.
Praise God. Amen.
Text, today's message deals with something that we all like to get, but we don't like to give a lot of times, and that's service. Service as we know it today is virtually extinct compared to in the earlier years. I can recall when you got free light bulbs from Detroit Edison. Take your bulbs down there and then they would give you new bulbs. Remember that? And of course I remember also Hudson's no ass return policy. Just take what you bought down there and give it back to them and they would give you new merchandise. It was a time, and I can also remember when service stations were service stations. You pulled in and they got your windows and check your oil and everything, and that's all gone. It was a time when customers meant something. Today, customers don't really mean anything because the bottom line is motivated by greed.
Right.
And greed is the goal of today of this depraved, driven society. All we have to do is look at the mortgage crisis, the oil crisis, the stock market, and all of the commodities, they're all driven by greed. Mm-hmm. However, this is the way of the world. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. The only thing God's got to deal with is depravity. So what do you expect?
Jesus.
However, in the body of Christ, we've been called to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that service should be something that is written on the inside of our hearts,
mm-hmm.
due because we love Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We've been called to, as I said, a higher standard. And we should not have the world standard.
All right.
The problem is that the world gets in us and we want to push the things that of God out.
Mm-hmm.
We literally have been called to a higher calling. Paul says in the epistle to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, that the wisdom of this world is foolish to God.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have that kind of standard, but to God is foolishness. And as I said before, what do you have to work with but depravity? And being in this society as it is, don't expect any more, anything better. As the pastor just said from the pastor's pen, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. These things must come to pass. But in the text here, he says here, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies. He says, therefore, brethren, first of all, he's talking to the church at Corinth. He's not talking to the world. He is talking to them. And he says that, therefore, brethren, he's talking to the body of Christ here, compassion, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The Jews knew what sacrifices were because in that era that they were in and all of the sacrifices that went on, they had an idea about what sacrifices were. There was external checking the animal out. You got on the altar, you checked them out and everything had to conform to standards.
Right.
So he says, present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, you're dead to the world so you can live for Christ. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That means a set aside for the Lord.
Amen.
To do the work of the Lord. To live for the Lord. To be somebody that sees you and see the Lord in you. It says also that which is acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, of course, we don't like to be told what to do. No matter how nice we ask people to do things, we don't like to be told what to do. Therefore, God says, your reasonable service. I'm appealing to you, reasonably do what is right. Be a living sacrifice. And corroboration for that is in the book of Proverbs, it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Problem is, a lot of us don't like to be directed by God, and we don't want to be told what to do by God. We have our own ideas and our own nomenclature of what we think is right. So he deals with them there. And as he goes into verse 2 there, he says, and be not conformed to this world. to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world system, well, first of all here, he lets you know that before we go into verse 2, your reasonable service, don't do foolish things and be doing all kinds of crazy, foolish things. And he's not asking you too much to do that. And just be able to reason. And the Bible says in Psalms 103 that verse 14 is a corroboration with that. And I'd like for Deacon Gavin to read that for me. So the whole idea is, first of all, in order to give service, you've got to have the mindset to do service. You can't approach this thing doing spiritual things with a fleshly mind. You have to have your motivation right and your priority right. Mm-hmm. Are you there, Deke?
Psalm 103, 13, 14.
Okay.
Psalms 103, verse 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust.
God knows how we are and knows our situation. And he knows how we are. And he's very reasonable with us. Go to 15, 16, and 17, D.
Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass.
As for man, his days are as grass.
As a flower of the field,
mm-hmm.
so he flourishes.
Mm-hmm.
For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more.
The whole idea is the corroboration of that is that we're here for just a small designated time. Mm-hmm. And we need to do the will of God to his good pleasure. And we should live for Christ and let people see Christ in us. That's what we should be doing. Good service on the part of the body of Christ is very important. Then he says here in verse 2 that be not conformed to this world or the world systems. Or the Greek, or age. So, when you look at some of the things that's going on today, you have to take a look. And if we're going to look at Christian men and Christian women for what they should be doing as far as their service is concerned, we have the grace transformation. And we have the world's confirmation. We have the man should be, as far as the grace confirmation, transformation is concerned, he should be the husband of one wife. He shouldn't have any side action. Some things on the side that he's dealing with. It should be his whole idea, if he's going to perform good service for God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He should be able to be in the what? Relationship with his wife and his wife only. There shouldn't be any side action. Y'all know what I mean. Shouldn't be any tipping. If there's any tipping, it should be tipping home every day and not dallying out at night. Amen? He should. And, of course, we have here, he should raise his children. The world says, have your children and leave them. Flavor Flav says, I'm going to have 10 kids out of wedlock all across the country. And a lot of young Christian men have the same kind of mindset. But, you know, you're supposed to raise your own children. A man that doesn't take care of his children or his family is worse than an infidel. That's what the Apostle Paul says. So he should raise his children. He should be accountable for his children. Because he can't provide good service for anybody in the body of Christ if he's not an example of godliness himself. Amen? And then he should bring his kids up in a godly atmosphere. The world says, you have them and you leave them, and you don't have to worry about that. But you are responsible for your kids. You are supposed to bring your kids up in a godly atmosphere. Corroboration says, train up a child when he's young, when he's old, he will not depart. You have that responsibility when you have children to be there for your kids. I said that when I had kids, that I'd never leave my kids. Come hell or high water, I wouldn't leave my kids. I just think when you have kids, you ought to be responsible for them. And Sister Harris and Brother L. Liverman and some of us who are in the educational tenets of society, we'll deal with that a little bit later, and Sister Rose, we know what it means when people leave the kids. We expect that from the world, but people who are in the body of Christ should stay with their kids. They shouldn't leave the kids. They should be there with them. They should always be willing to work. They should be good parents by working for their kids. The world says, no, you don't have to work. You know, that's what fools do. But you're supposed to work and take care of your kids.
Yes, sir.
He says that, and Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, that you are to work with your hands and not be so, a lot of the people in the world say, well, that's too good for me to do. I don't want to do that. But a Christian is supposed to work to take care of his kids. I can remember when I came along, I did all kinds of jobs. Didn't care. I was determined to do the right thing. I would rather go to work than to go to jail. Because I didn't want to go to jail. I wanted to do the right thing. So he says also that you ought to be, you ought to go to work. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, that if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. And you shouldn't have people on welfare if they don't want to work. And you think that we expect that from the world, but we got a lot of people who are in the church, in the body of Christ, doing the same thing. Taking up the things of the world. The Bible says if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Then you want to take a look at Christian women. I'm not going to be here long. She should be the wife of one husband. She should be an example for her kids. And her home should be something that she cherishes. And she should be a virtuous woman. She should be the kind of woman who brings up her children in a godly way. And what happened to women that used to bring up their children where they taught them to sew, taught them to cook, taught them to do the things of that young women are supposed to do? Now we see women walking up and down the street, young girls walking up and down the street, half-dressed, nothing on, cussing and everything. But, you know, that was a time when we brought up our young ladies where they were brought up as young ladies. They were brought up where they were what? They were brought up in the Word of God, brought up in the church, and expected to act like they were a child of God. But things have changed. We got women now that this whole situation, instead of having one husband that she cherished, the world system out here, they got one woman, she got a man for her nails, got a man for her hair, got a man for her phone, got a man for her rent, got a man to help with a welfare check. It's all about getting over. I can expect that from the world. But we got a lot of people in the church doing the same thing. So, it's about getting over. Then we got women who, they got the sex education going on in the schools. They say, well, I don't want my kids to have sex education. So what they do is they rent porno movies and show their kids. This is what sex education is about. Oh, y'all don't hear me. This is what, and a lot of our people in the body of Christ are doing the same thing.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
So, what we say here, we said that this all this mess has a root, and I'm not going to be here long because I got a lot more to cover. He says, but it all came back. It all started. All it takes is a germ or a seed or something, and then it gets going. This great society program that was brought out by Johnson in 1964, and every civil rights leader from King, all the rest of them, they all thought it was a great thing. It's going to be, And what happened was, the first thing that was bad about it was, it took the man out the house and put a paycheck in a woman's hand instead of the man. The next thing they did was, they brought drugs in the community, okay, and then the next thing they did was, they brought hip-hop in, and then the next thing they brought was rap. And then VH1, and now we don't know now. And at that time, from 1865 to 1965, we had what? 85 to 90% of our men in the home, and now we got 22%. This is what happens. I can understand that if it's the world, but the body of Christ shouldn't be doing that. Amen? All right. All right. It's gotten to the point where we're lying, killing, bringing everything into the church. Crenshaw Christian Church is now has the fifth Sunday, every fifth Sunday for hip hop. They brought hip hop in. I never thought that Fred Price would do that. Brought hip hop into the church. And all it takes is a small seed. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. So what we're saying here, the Bible says, what he says, and be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what is the mind, the Christian mind should do? Well, first of all, you should have a transformed mind. The Bible says in John 15:3 says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. And then 2 Timothy 2:15, he says what? He says this. He says, study to show thyself an approved workman for God, rightly dividing the word of truth, or cutting it straight. Then Psalms 109:11-9, he says, how is a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word. We have all kinds of things going on now. In this depraved, driven society, and everything now is on the point of what we should do is it's about money, money, money. But the Bible says that what? Jesus said what? He says that what? The love of money is the root of all evil, which some have what coveted after have erred from the faith. Everything now is about money in the church. Everything's about money. We can't do anything. If you look on those Word of Faith ministries, it's all about money. And if you notice that they all got their own ministry, it's not this certain ministry. That it's nothing about Christ. It's all about them. But I thought that we were in the body of Christ, where Christ was the paramount virtue that we should look at, and not ourselves. We brought nothing to the plate. It's about Christ and not us. So also, we are driven to the point of where we got to acquire everything. And Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. It doesn't consist of that. But we're in this old mode of acquiring. And Paul says that we come here with nothing and we leave with nothing. And we just don't believe that. And we just keep going and doing the same thing over and over and over. So he says, so what is the good? What is good? The body of Christ. What is acceptable? The sin. We are sinners saved by grace through faith and not ourselves. And our top priority should be eternal things. Not the things here on earth. Amen. For the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 that the things that are eternal are not seen. But the things that are prior, that are temporal, they are seen and they won't be around.
Right.
How our whole motivation should be about Christ and Him and Him alone.
Amen.
All of this other foolishness is going to be here. All of the things that people are doing in the world is going to be here. It's nothing going to change. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Right.
It's going to get worse.
Right. Amen.
It's not going to get any better at all.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to remember is that we are God's children, and we were saved before the foundation of the world, and we should be concerned about the perfect will of God, the sovereignty of God, and we should be able to, that's what we should have our mind set on. Our mind should be set on the will and the perfect will of God. A few years ago, when I was just in the faith and came along, I didn't know what the sovereignty of God meant.
Right.
And you know, I think back 40 years ago when I got saved, and I was just got baptized and everything. I didn't know anything but about the miracles of Moses and things like that. And through the nurturing of God and getting more and more Bible study and more teaching and taking me to a higher level and everything, I see now what the sovereignty of God is, and I understand it much more now than I did a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and every day I want to get closer and closer to God, because the things that are out here now that are temporal, we're going to all leave one day. And I thank God for that, because all of the things that we put a lot of faith in is going to leave here one day. This building, this city, and everything else is all going to be taken away. And when we're in the God, we're going to be in the eternal God throughout all eternity. And that's what I'm looking forward to. The things that we see here, they are temporary. And we got to get that through our head. Nothing is here is permanent. It's going to all leave one day. And we need to think, we ought to be thankful that God didn't call us. So He called us and He saved us before the foundation of the world. And He adopted us as children. And He loves us as His children. And He's justified for us. He's sanctified us. And He's put us into a relationship with Him that nobody else has. And we ought to be so thankful about that. We have something to be thankful about every day. Every day we get up, we got Jesus. Every day we got up, every day. And the thing about it is, God is so consistent. He's always there. He's with us. He dwells in my heart. He dwells in your heart. And every day I thank Him for being with me, in me, and around me, and taking care of me. You don't hear what I'm talking about today. Through the grace of God, we have everything.
Yes, we do.
We have everything. We're in the body of Christ. And thank God for that. And thank God for knowledge. That I know that. And so He says, I say for the grace given to me, that every man that is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to. Think soberly about yourself. You're nothing without Christ.
Nothing.
But with Christ, you're everything, because Christ died for us before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8, and He placed us in His body. But by ourselves, we're nothing. We're nothing. And what we need to do is stop and think about that. Where would you be without Christ? I don't even want to think about it. He says, we are many members. There are many members in the body of Christ. It's one body. And I think it's time for me now to go back and tell you what I was brought up on. I was brought up on some weird theology. I was brought up on that Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and 23 says, where He tells, first of all, who's He talking to? Is a kingdom gospel. Says, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. And they told us, covenant theology-wise, that was the church. That's not the church. That is not the church He's talking. He is talking to Israel. And then they said they would take us to John chapter, over there to the book of John, and where Jesus was talking, and He, the 20th chapter of John, and 26th through the 29th verse, and they would tell us that, well, this is how your body's going to be.
First of all, you got to be faithful over a few things, and you're going to be rulers over many. But if you don't be that way, then first of all, you got to realize that you're going to have a glorified body. And God is going to, through your faithfulness, He's going to give you rules of planets and universes out all eternity. That's the craziest thing I ever heard, now that I know better. We are what? One body in the body of Christ. We are one member in the body of Christ, but the body of Christ has many members. Would to God that people would rightly divide the word. And then it would take and say, and not only that, you're going to be a priest, a royal priesthood, and taking everything out of context, and then take us to Peter. They take us over there to Peter, and it would be 1 Peter 2:5-9 about your holy priesthood. And then anybody like Elder Livermore said, all you got to do is read the historical part, and he's talking to Israel because they are going to be the holy nation, and they're the royal priesthood to bring the Gentiles into the millennial kingdom of God. I wish I had somebody praying with me. You take everything out of context. And people are so messed up in this kingdom gospel because they don't rightly divide the word, Elder. They don't rightly divide the word at all. And they're sitting there all messed up and all fuddled up. In order for you to understand this word, you've got to rightly divide the word and cut this straight. You're not a priesthood or a royal nation. You're in the body of Christ. That ought to let you know that he's not talking to you. You're in Christ. You're saved before the foundation of the world. He's talking about them being a mediator to the people that's in the world at that time to bring them to God. He's not talking to you. Your position is secure in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
I just get so tired of people messing up the word. And that's the kind of theology that I was, and also I was telling Elder Lemon the other night, Friday. We were brought up in that old Baptist church that there was going to be a general resurrection. Yes, you accepted Christ, but it's like this. If it's going to be a general resurrection, he's going to call everybody up. And go call your name out. And he's going to look at you and say, well, Brother Bill, what you got here? Well, I see this day you were straight, Elder.
Yeah.
This day you were straight, D. But you fell down for the 3 or 4 days. And they taught us that if your good days outnumbered your bad days, then you would go into heaven. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. There is no condemnation of that in gross that are in Christ Jesus. Christ saved us before the foundation of the world, and what Christ did in eternity, he cannot mess up in time.
That's it. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus.
What? I know they taught you that too. That's what they taught us. But thank God, as Elder Livermore said, thank God for knowledge. Thank God for knowledge. We're in the body of Christ. Many members, one body. Amen. We have different gifts in verse 6 according to his giving. And there's prophecy. Prophecy, as to my understanding, is foretelling that which has been foretold. You have the ministry of serving, and that is teaching. And the teaching that we're supposed to be doing is the grace contract. Mm-hmm. You can't teach people kingdom in the grace contract. You can show them what kingdom is, but that's not the grace contract. The grace contract starts from Romans to Hebrews. Nothing is, and all of that, it's a small amount, but it's powerful. Because you're looking at it from the eternal perspective and not from the horizontal. Tells Serve God. And, you know, I like what Jesus said, that when James and John's mother came and said, "Well, would you please just put them in a certain spot?" And I like what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that the Son of Man came to what? Minister, not to minister to. We got people now that they got to be ministered to, and they're supposed to be ministered to the body of Christ. They've got planes, they've got Rolls Royces, they've got everything, and you can't even make an appointment to see them because Dr. So-and-so has got to be here, he's got to be there. What in the world happened to being a ministry where you serve the people who God has appointed to be under your tutelage? Don't have time for nobody. It's crazy. As members of the body of Christ, we're to serve Him. The things we don't serve anymore is sin, Romans 6 and 6. And in love, we serve each other, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Colossians 3:24, you serve the true and living God, and you don't serve man. You don't serve the priest, you don't serve the preacher. The Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. You don't have to go to anybody to pray to them or run any kind of beads or doing all that crazy mess. Your position in Christ, where you have can go directly to the throne of grace because you have privileged communication with God. You don't have to go someplace to some man and he be a mediator to take your prayers.
Thank God. Thank
you. You worshiping man more than you are God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's crazy.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
1 Thessalonians tells us that we ought to turn from idols. Serve the true and living God. We have the ministries of exhortation, a service ministry where we exhort or urge people on in the faith. We have people right here in this church that we ought to continue to be urging on. Brother Charlie has lost his mom, and we ought to be giving him the ministry of exhortation and urging him on in the faith. Sister Rose is going through things with her mom right now, and other people in the faith here that we need to be urging them on with exhortation and trying to urge them on. That's what it's about. Sharing our gospel. And while if we're in a position of being a ruler, we ought to be a diligent ruler. Working hand in hand with the careful element to magnify the office. The man magnifies the office, and the office doesn't magnify the man. When the office magnifies the man, then the man gets big and God gets small. But if he magnifies the office, then what happens is he gets small and God gets larger and larger. In other words, humility. We don't like that. We like to strut around with our chest out and like we're so big and so holy and we got so much going for us and everything. You're nothing but a pile of flesh and you're just like everybody else. And everybody in here will rot and die one day. And the thing about this flesh is you can primp it, you can keep it in shape, and you can put all the things that you think is right in your body and everything. But you know the thing is, the Bible says, and as it is appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment. We ought to have love and let it not be things that show, but we ought to be things that's not seen, but we ought to love folks. He says in verse 19, avenge not yourselves. avenge not yourselves. We get people do wrong things to us. I remember in 1979, I was at the peak of my career. I had so many thousands of dollars worth of bonus money coming, but the thing about it was, I did too good a job. And they didn't want to pay me the extra amount of money, which is a substantial amount of money, because I had exceeded the quota. So what they did was they took the money from me. And I was so hurt, and they sent the man here, and he talked to me, and he said, well, Bill, what's on your mind? And I told him I felt that I was cheated out of my money. So what he does is he goes back and put a directive in the mail and tell them to fire me the next day. I was fired from a $65,000 a year job overnight. So I know what Ron Brown was going through. A $65,000 a year job overnight, and that didn't include all of the bonuses and things that I would have been getting in the preceding years because of the contracts that I had written with the Detroit board. I estimated that I lost something like $3 million over a 20-year period. And I was angry. And I would have taken my gun and went down to Ohio and blew everybody out. But it wasn't God's will for me to do it. I stayed right here in Detroit. The Bible says what? Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The young man who did that to me, 2.5 months later, he went to a sales meeting and he left because he had a very bad headache. And Elder Lemon, what happened was he died the next day when he got home of an aneurysm. You can't, God will avenge you. You don't, but see, if I would have done it my way, I would have went down there and took me a sun guy kind of automatic and wiped the whole office out. But it wasn't God's will for me to do that. I'm just talking to myself because y'all are so holy and everything. Y'all wouldn't have done that. Y'all would have been in prayer. No, I was ready to go and wipe him out. And the only reason I didn't do it was because God vetoed me not doing it. See, I tell on myself. Amen. Y'all so sweet and kind and holy. Y'all won't do things like that. But we got to remember that this is the way of the world. He will avenge you. You don't have to avenge anybody. So what he says here, don't come, he says here in verse 20, if you get back, feed your enemies, give them a drink of water. And that way it's from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Paul goes back to the Sermon on the Mount, I think it's Matthew 5:44, and it says what? He will heap coals on their head. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what it's supposed to be about. Why? Well, how can you do that? And because when you do that, then that shows that you're in the service of God, doing God's way, doing things God's way. The hardest thing for us to do is to put things in perspective and let God do things to us His way. We don't want to do it that way. We want to do it our way. But it's God's way is the way that it should be done. Amen. I remember a case where I was teaching Bible class over at People's Church. Lady told me, we went on this scripture and she said, Elder Nicholson, I'd like to share something with the class. I said, well, what is it? She said, I work for this lady in Detroit, and she had something like 11 nursing homes. And she made so much money, and she was so arrogant and everything, and nobody could tell her nothing. But what happened was a federal audit came in, and they took all of the nursing homes from her. She wouldn't hardly speak to her help or anything. And this woman said, she said she treated me like a dog, Elder, and said, but when she lost all those nursing homes and nobody else would take care of her, said she called me up and came to my house and I had to take care of her for the rest of her life.
You don't know what's going to be. You ought to be as sweet and kind to folks as you can be. Because you don't know when the shoe is going to be on the other foot. When people are down now, down, don't kick them and beat them. You know, that he that is overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Don't be so quick to judge people and knock them down and be all over them everything, because you don't, as we say at Michigan State, don't throw stones if you stand in a glass window. We need to be thankful for that, because we don't know what's going to happen in our life and don't know what's going to transpire. But the important thing is we have to keep our priorities straight. And our priority is to serve the living God. We are to what? Be as the body of Christ and be about his business. And let me say something to you. Paul says that we are God's epistles read among men. And the thing about it is, the epistle is the word of God, and that's the abstract that Paul gave to his disciples and to the churches. But the manifestation of it, when it got into our hearts and God dealt with our word, the words in our hearts, it should have been played from the outside, from the inside out, where we should show folks that we are the children of God and that everything about God in Christ is about us being with God's being in God because of what God has done for us. And we ought to do that. I'd just like to say also that when he looks here, I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I want Deke to read that for me, please. Yeah. Thirty-eight. But before you read that, Deke. Go to Romans 8 and 6 there, and then we'll go over to 6 and 7. Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8.
We're reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at the 6th through the 8th verse. For to be carnally minded is death, King James Version, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Okay, peace and life. If we are spiritually minded, because why? Because the Spirit of God lives in us, and he's given us eternal life, and we have the peace of God in us because of that. That's enough for us to, that ought to be enough to motivate us, where we can rejoice in a time of suffering, rejoice in a time of crises, rejoice when things are not going right. And this has been an extremely terrible week for me, but I thank God. Through the rejoicing of Christ, I'm here today, and it was a whole lot of things that went down this week that I didn't even tell my wife about. Go ahead.
Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Let's stop right there. We are able to serve God because we have the what? The peace of God in us, the Spirit of God, but Let's get something straight right now. The old man that you got that you brought here to church this morning, like L. Liverman said Friday, that fellow we came out with Friday, he didn't want to come. This old fellow don't want to come. This flesh hadn't been born again. It has not been born again, and it cannot be born again. It is dead in trespasses and sins, but the man on the inside is here today. That's the man that I'm talking to. Because I'm not talking to your flesh, man. That man's dead. Okay? And he's just carrying around your real man on the inside. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that's the what? The treasure of the body of Christ. Glorification, sanctification, justification, all of those things.
But the old man really will never receive that. And it can't receive it.
Praise Jesus.
Go ahead.
Verse 8, King James Version. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
And so what we have to realize is that what? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, we're what? Spirit, soul, and body. This man on the inside is the one that's got to work to please God, because this old man here, he never wants to do it. Go to 8:28.
Dropping down to Romans 8:28, King James Version. And we know that all things work together.
Who knows? We know, the body of Christ knows, what? That us, what? Go ahead, D.
All things work together for good.
To them that what?
Love
God. And what? To them that are called according to His purpose. What He called you to do and what you are doing is because of His calling back in eternity. And it's all to His purpose. Why? We walk in this flesh, Hebrews 2:14, and what? There's a testimony of what God has done for us in eternity to show us how we are in this flesh. And the testimony is to God that He saved us in spite of ourselves. And no matter how bad we are and everything and what all the things we went through, we thank God that He saved us in eternity before the foundation of the world. His purpose, not ours. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. So when we know that, it's about serving Him. And I like what Jesus said in corroboration put in John 18:37. He says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Well, why did Jesus come? To show the manifestation of God in the flesh with signs, wonders, and miracles that He was the Messiah to Israel. And I like it for myself, is that what? To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, because I am in the body of Christ, and He has saved me before the foundation of the world, that I will be with Him throughout all eternity. And through all eternity I will be with Him, in Him, and I will learn and take on His nature. And wherever He will be, that's where I'll be. And that's why I thank God for. To this end, I thank God. The bottom line is, church, serve God. Serve God. And again I say, serve the Lord with all of your spirit, soul, mind, and body, that the world might see Christ in you, the hope of glory. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right.